She knew she wasn't supposed to be there, and pretty soon everybody else would know that she wasn't supposed to be there. She had followed this traveling rabbi, Jesus, as he went to the house of a very religious man, a Pharisee. He had been invited there for a feast. Now, they weren't in the house, they were in the courtyard, so there were other people from the town standing around. But this particular woman had come prepared. She had brought an alabaster jar filled with scented oil, and she was waiting her time. Now, if you can imagine, what she saw was something like a U-shaped table, or maybe a U-shaped set of rugs. And the people who were feasting would be leaning on their left arm, stretched out with their feet away from the table, using their right hand to eat and using their bread as a spoon. So this is not at all like the tables we have today, which is why when she enters the room and goes to Jesus, she can go on the outside of that table and go right to his feet. She intended to take the oil, pour it over his feet, rub it into his feet, and anoint him. There was just one problem. When she got there, she began to cry. And pretty soon the crying became weeping. She had lived her life standing next to a pool of tears. Her childhood, a pool of tears. Her relationships with men, a pool of tears. The things that the other people in town said about her, a pool of tears. The tears flowed freely. And she realized that before she could anoint Jesus' feet, she would have to dry them off. She had nothing with which to dry them off, except her hair. So she undid her hair, which was up, and she let it down. And she began to dry Jesus' feet, in effect washing them with her tears, drying them with her hair. Well, she knew what a scandalous thing this was. She might as well have taken off her clothes. For a woman to let down her hair, her glory, would be very offensive to everyone around that table. When she had wiped his feet dry, she took the oil and she rubbed it on his feet. She looked up and the host, the Pharisee, she could tell was very displeased. He didn't say anything, but she could see on his face, what is this woman doing here? She shouldn't even be in this room, much less bothering one of my guests. And it was as if Jesus read his mind. He said, let me tell you a story. Now, it wasn't unusual for guests to tell stories, to entertain other guests, or even to ask riddles that others would try to answer. Jesus said, there was a man who loaned two people money. One amount was enough to pay 500 workers for a day's work. The other, 50 workers for a day's work. When the time came to pay that money back, the lender said, forget it. Don't worry about it. The debt is forgiven. Then he turned to his host and said, now which one do you think would love him more? Well, it wasn't a riddle at all. The answer was obvious. The one who had had more forgiven would love him more. That's exactly what the host says. The one to whom he had forgiven more. And Jesus said, you got the answer right. Unfortunately, you got most everything else wrong. Because you see, you think this woman at my feet is a sinner. But you know what? When I came here, you didn't offer to wash my feet. You didn't offer me a kiss of welcome. You didn't offer to anoint me, all of which would have been appropriate if he really believed he was welcoming a prophet. But this woman, since she has come in, has not failed to wash my feet with her tears. She had been ashamed of it till that moment. Jesus made it all right. And she anointed my feet, she kissed my feet. said, to whom much is forgiven, that person learns to love much. But for those who don't think they need to be forgiven, they learn to love very little. And he looked directly at his host when he said that. Then he turned and spoke to the woman, for the very first time spoke directly to her. He said, my daughter, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Everything she had done that had scandalized everyone around her, he called faith. Your sins are forgiven, he said. Who is this who forgives sins? Only God could forgive sins, and yet this man offers her that gift. You know, the difficult part, or one of the most difficult parts of reading the Gospels, is figuring out who the bad guys are and who the good guys are. But we get a little help in this story, because from the very beginning, it's set in the house of a Pharisee, a very religious man, so he's the good guy. And when the woman's introduced, she's not named except to say she is a sinner. She's the bad girl. So we know from the start who's the hero and who's the villain of the piece. Except whenever Jesus gets involved in these things, they get complicated. You see, for Jesus, who associated with sinners and tax collectors and other folks he was not supposed to associate with, he frequently welcomed the people who others rejected and rejected the people who thought they should be welcome anywhere. He turns the tables on his host. Who is it that loves most? The one who needs to be forgiven most. Who is it that loves least? Those of us who are good religious folk. We're here today, aren't we? We're not like those people who slept in. We're here. We're good. They learn to love the least because they don't think they need forgiveness. Jesus turns the table, and all of a sudden, the good religious man is not so good, and the bad girl becomes the good girl, the one who receives forgiveness. And she does that because when she comes in, for all the scandalous things she does, she is performing the role of a servant. Now, we're working on service right now, right? We just said it at Sophia's baptism. Will we reaffirm our vows to support what God is doing through this church with our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness? And in Lent, we're focusing on service. She's doing what a servant should have done. A servant would have washed his feet. A servant would have anointed his feet. His host would not have done that. And in doing so, she offends everybody in the room except Jesus, who not only understands what she's doing, but reframes it in such a way that she becomes the hero of the piece. And the good religious guy, for all the right answers he has, not so much. Makes me think, who are the servants today? You go out through the neighborhoods, who is it putting on the roofs of houses? You drive through the construction areas, who is it working out there in the hot sun or in the bitter cold? Laying down asphalt, preparing the roads for that. Who is it when you look back into the kitchen, who is it doing the cooking? Not folks who look like us. Mm-mm. They're immigrants. They're folks who not only don't look like us, they're folks who are not only strangers, but they're also sinners because they're illegal. Many of them, except we really know in our heart of hearts that no human being is illegal, since God doesn't observe human boundaries and borders. God created the whole earth and all that is in it. I suggest to you that if this story were being retold today, that sinner might have been one of the immigrants, one of the strangers and sojourners among us. Because we who were fortunate enough to be born here feel a sense of entitlement, don't we? We're the good guys. Those people who snuck in are the bad guys. And yet Jesus specializes in turning the tables on us good religious folk. You want to learn more about that? We have a table out here, and representatives from Justice for Our Neighbors are here. It's United Methodist Ministry. It helps people who are in this country with immigration issues and problems. Sometimes we forget that these are our brothers and sisters, these sinners, the ones who scandalize us. You see, this would have been an offensive story in Jesus' day. We don't get that. We think it's a sweet little story about some woman washing Jesus' feet. It is a scandalous and offensive story. Have I gotten there yet? Have I offended you yet? If not, maybe I need to push a little harder, you think? Because Jesus found the least acceptable person. And because she knew she needed help, she knew she needed that forgiveness that God extends to all of us, she learned how to love. The Pharisee, because he thought he was a pretty good guy, oh yeah, garden variety sins, but nothing terrible. I mean, after all, he broke the speed limit, but of course that doesn't make him illegal, does it? He learned to love very little. So the question is, where do we learn how to love? We learn to love as we watch those who serve. We learn to love as we follow the example of those who serve, whoever they are. In Jesus' day, it was this sinful woman. In our day, it could be anyone who is shut out, rejected, pushed away, considered to be somehow out of place, illegal, sinful. If we're going to learn how to serve, we need to watch those who serve. We need to watch those who do for others, not for themselves necessarily. I'm going to tell you a final story. When most of us hear the word immigrant, we think of someone who speaks Spanish and from a Hispanic background, but that's not the story I'm going to tell you. When I was in Hendersonville, a young man named David would come to visit me occasionally. David was from the Sudan. He was one of the so-called lost boys of the Sudan. David had a hard time adjusting to life here in the States. It was so very different. He worked really hard. He would come by occasionally, though, asking for help, even though he worked really, really hard. When he came to visit with me, he would always ask if the bishop was in. And of course I would welcome him, right? Anybody's going to call me bishop, huh? I told you he wasn't accustomed to our way of doing things. The reason he was constantly in difficulty is that he was taking most of the money he earned, not wasting it, sending it back to the Sudan, to his mother, to his brothers, to his sisters, to his cousins, and living on almost nothing. Before he left, and he left before I came here, he got a really good job working in a chicken factory in Iowa. Some of his fellow Sudanese refugees had told him about it. And it was. It was hard work. It was dirty work. It's the work that none of us want to do, basically. And yet for him, it was a godsend because he could continue to send money back home. Where do we learn how to serve? Where do we learn how to love? Well, Jesus says it's from those who serve, from those who know their own brokenness, who stand beside a pool of tears. And quite honestly, if people knew the truth about us, there have been many, many days that we have stood next to a pool of tears, haven't we? Well, Jesus says when you're there, you're on the verge of learning what it means to love. Because once you know how broken you are, how much forgiveness you need, and once you know that God forgives all of that and welcomes all of us, then you're ready to love. May that be so for us, that we too will learn to love out of the forgiveness we receive in our brokenness. Thanks be to God.